Good morning, everybody. Today's daf in Yevamos, daf Kuf Yud Gimel, 113. Just a little more over a week and a half to go. We're starting today the 14th perek of the Masechta. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We'll be learning Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriel Bashmua. Also, we're learning Zecher Nishmas Shafri Shlomo Ben Mashallah. Mishnah, excuse me. Mishnah begins with some very basic information. After having spent now 13 parakim in the Masechta, after parak number 5 from 6 and onward, so kind of started then jumping in and out of the topic of Yibum. We went on to other topics. The last number of topics that we covered, Mian was the previous parak. And parak prior to that dealt with the halachas more on the topic of, I'm sorry, the 13th parak was about Mion. Okay, and the 14th parak now, as we're about to begin, is going to deal with the Cheresh. Cheresh is a deaf mute. We've discussed this at length, but we're going to be discussing it just more directly. Deaf mute in the time of the Gemara is assumed to have no das, no cognitive power whatsoever. There's no mental faculty to the Cheresh, and as a result of that, with no das, so you really can't. You can't have a marriage. Marriage needs das. You need two consenting parties, a man and a woman, in order to create a marriage. A marriage is a kinyan, and you can't have a cheresh without das. Get involved in a marriage, and yet the chachamim instituted marriage for a cheresh. How do they institute the marriage for the cheresh? Why did they institute marriage for a cheresh? So that's going to be one of the first things we're going to see in the Gemara. But you know how this works. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And the Mishnah doesn't give us a why, the Mishnah gives us a what, and then when we get to the Gemara's first question is going to be why, and then and only then are we going to be discussing why it is that the Chachamim instituted marriage when it comes to a Cheresh. 9 different cases coming up in the Mishnah. They're pretty straightforward. We're going to go through it rather quickly. Number 1, Cheresh Anasa Pikachos, Pikachos Anasa Chereshes. The word pikeach literally means smart, but over here it's just relatively speaking, meaning it just means that the person has das. So the cheresh, the man is a cheresh, and he's marrying a pikachas, a woman who is smart. Or pikach shenisei chereshes, or the pikeach is married to a chereshes. Nimratz alahotzi yotzi. So if the marriage wants to get terminated, so it can get terminated. Yotzi v'imratz l'kayim mikayim. And if the marriage wants to perpetuate, the marriage can perpetuate. Meaning, it's a marriage. And it can behave and operate just like a marriage. Kishem shu'ukonis b'remiza kachu motzi b'remiza. Now, how is he going to divorce her if he cannot communicate? So the same way that he marries her. He marries her b'remiza. And remiza means that he uses some sort of gesture to indicate that he wants in on the marriage. And same way that he enters into the marriage, he can also exit from the marriage as well, using remiza. That's number one. That's case number one. Number 2, let's say a man marries a woman. At the time, they both have their mental faculty, and then she becomes a chereshah. He could divorce if he'd like to, and if he wants to, he can remain married to her. Nishtates lo yatsa.
But what if this says he may stay with her?
Right. There's no. The Mishnah is just giving us a foil, meaning it's telling us that marriage can maintain. It's just setting the stage for the other chiddush, which is the bigger chiddush, which is he can divorce her. Okay, the imratzi yikayim nishtates. But what if she goes insane? We're going to be talking about two different frail mental states over the course of today's daf. One of them is a cheresh. Cheresh is not so much a mental state; it's the inability to speak and to hear, deaf mute. So the And with that, there's a general assumption that they don't have mental faculty. Shota, somebody who is deranged, mentally deranged, clinically deranged. So if a woman becomes nishtatis lo yotzi, so then he cannot divorce her. Again, the Mishnah is not giving any why whatsoever. The Mishnah just is telling us what. And when we get to the Gemara, we're going to be discussing all the whys. Nishare sho nishtate. What if he either becomes a cheresh or a shote over the course of the marriage? Eino motzi alami, so then he can't divorce her. Amar Rav Yochanan Nuri mimne ma isha nishin nishare she yotze ve isha nishare she yomotzi. So Rav Yochanan Nuri says, I don't understand the distinction that we're making between a man and a woman. When it comes to a woman who becomes a chayreshes. So the Mishnah says, the Tanakhama says that you can divorce her. But when the man becomes a chayresh, he can't divorce her. I don't understand. What's the difference? So Amar lo, so they said to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, I'll explain to you the difference. It's very simple. You can't compare the man's role in a divorce and a woman's role in divorce. Because when it comes to a woman, you don't need her das. There's no compliance when it comes to a divorce from the perspective of a woman. A woman can receive a get, even balkarach, even against her will. But when it comes to a man, in a get, so the man needs das. He needs he needs his willing intent. So there's a very basic difference between a man and a woman when it comes to divorce. That's not true by marriage. When it comes to marriage, you need consent on both parties, both on the man and on the woman. But when it comes to divorce, so you don't need das by the woman. So even if a woman becomes a chayreshes, so you can affect a divorce. Okay, very basic difference. It sounds like, in other words, the Mishnah does not make this point clear, but it sounds like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees. What point does he actually disagree with? That's unclear. I can only guess and speculate. But it sounds like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, I don't see the difference. Meaning what? Meaning he doesn't agree with this basic principle? It's hard to imagine. It's a basic principle regarding get. So he doesn't agree with the application of this principle? Maybe. I'd only be guessing. I really don't know. Hate Rav Yochanan Good Gadal Chayresha Sheisi Avia. The testimony regarding Rav Yochanan Good Gadal, regarding Chayresha Sheisi Avia, when father married off his daughter was a Chayreshes, she yotze beget, that she can get a divorce with a get. So Amar lo Avzuka yotze ba. So they say to him, okay, say same thing over here. So, Bezachim, we're up to case number 3. Okay, so again, 9 different cases coming up in the Mishnah. Bezachim, Charasha, Nesun, LeBezach, Chayes, Charasha. So if I have two brothers married to two sisters, everyone's a Cheresh involved in the marriage. O Lishte, Achayos, Pikachos. Or let's say both of the women are Pikach. O Lishte, Achayos, Achas, Chereshes, Vachas, Pikachos. Or one is a Cheresh, one of the sisters is a Chereshes, one is not. O Bezach, Chayes, Charasha, Nesun, Lishte, Achim, Pikachim. Or let's say both of the sisters are Charashos, and both of the men are pikachin. O l'shneachin charashin, or both of the men are charashin. O l'shneachin echad cheresh echad pikeach, or one of the brothers is a cheresh and the other one's a pikeach. In every one of the scenarios that we just laid down, in any one of these settings, there is both of the marriages are rabbinic. Meaning, either both of the brothers are charashim, or both of the sisters are charashim. And then after that point in time, as long as you have that, so then that means that both marriages are midrabbanan, not min haTorah. So ha're'elu p'tur min ha'chalitza min ha'yibam. So therefore there's going to be an exemption from yibam and chalitza. Like we said already. When it comes to chalitza, chalitza requires dibur, requires speech. The ability to speak. And if you don't have the ability to speak, so you're not involved in chalitza. And also you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of yibam as well. As the marriages are only rabbinic. Now, if they are nachrios, if the two girls are not sisters, if they are not... I'm sorry, let me just go back for a moment. Let me just explain the mission a little bit better. There's no chalitza because there's no speech. But in this particular case, it's even more fundamental. There's no chalitza because they're sisters. Right. In other words, they're arayos. And on top of that, the marriage is also midrabanan. But we don't even have to... I mean, we keep that in mind, but also more fundamentally, the two sisters, and as we discussed from day one of the Masechta, so when there's any other Erevah, so then there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza. Im Hayunachrios, now what if they're not sisters? Meaning, again, we're going with any one of these settings, scenarios that we just set up, where the man or the woman, or one... Right, in both of the marriages is a cheresh, so that means that the marriage in both cases are midrabanan. So therefore, if they wanna fulfill the mitzvah of yibam, they can, and if they want to and if they want a divorce, they can. What about chalitza? So there, you can't do chalitza. Now I could say it. They can't do chalitza because they can't speak. And one of the principles of chalitza is that you have to have the ability to speak. Now we're up to case number 4 in the Mishnah. You have two brothers. One is a cheresh and one is a pikeach. And they're married to two girls, two sisters, I should say. And the two sisters are smart. They have the mental faculty. So here in this case now, it's going to get a little bit more complicated because one is a marriage min Torah, and the other is a marriage min Rabbanan. So if the cheresh dies, meaning the marriage min Rabbanan, so he dies, and so what should the pikeach do? So nothing. It's a sister-in-law. So there's no mitzvah yibum. So, but what if the pikeach ba pikachas dies? What if the husband who was smart dies, leaving now his wife for a zika? So here it becomes now a significant problem. Because now we have, from the cheresh standpoint, he is married, but his marriage is only midrabanan. And meanwhile, he has a zika coming at him, and the zika coming at him is a zika de oraisa. So what does he do? So, imaya secheresh ba pikachas, motzi ishto beged, veishazach vasur laolam. So what he has to do is he has to divorce his wife, and the woman coming to him is going to be prohibited to him forever. Meaning that the Zika Daraisa is going to upend his marriage. Who is he married to right now? He's married to Acho Zekukaso. Can't live with Acho Zekukaso. So he has to sever his marriage. What about now doing the mitzvah of Yibom? Can't, because who is that woman now? That woman is Achos Grushaso. She is the wife of his Grusha. So therefore, both women become prohibited to him. Case number 5 in the Mishnah. If I have two brothers who are smart, married to two sisters, Achad Chereshes v'Achad Pikachas. One's a Chereshes and the other one's a Pikachas. Meis Pikach Baal Chereshes. And so once again, we're just going to now see what happens if when either one of the brothers die. So if the pikech ba'chereshes die, so mayas the pikech ba'pikachas, teitzim shomachos isha, so there, fine. In other words, the woman coming at him right now is achos ishto, it's wife's sister, so there's not going to be a mitzvah yibum. So meis pikech ba'pikachas, mayas the pikech ba'chereshes, but now, let's talk about a scenario where the pikech ba'pikachas dies, leaving his wife now as the zakuka to her brother-in-law. And now it gets complicated because even though her brother-in-law is married to the sister, but that marriage is only midrabbana, not minatara. So mosi isha begev, eseshasachiv bechalitza. So here he's going to give his wife a get because his wife is achuzukukaso. And again, it's not his wife minatara, it's only his wife midrabbanan. So his wife is achuzukukaso. And what does he do with his sister-in-law? He gives her chalitza. He does chalitza to her. And here he can do chalitza because remember, in this case, in scenario number 5, she's the chereshes, not him. Therefore, there are two people who can speak and hear. So therefore, he does chalitza. He can't do yibum to her because he divorced his sister. So she's achos grushaso. Case number 6. Shnei achin, echad cheresh ve'echad pikech, nesun l'shtei achos, echad chereshes ve'echad pikachas. If I have two brothers, one being a cheresh, the other being a pikech, and married to two sisters, one being a cheresh and the other pikachas, and meis cheresh ba chereshes, and let's assume that, right, matzah min esmino, that everyone married the more compatible partner, and that pikech married the pikachas, and the cheresh married the chereshes, so meis cheresh ba chereshes, ma yaseh pikech ba pikachas, teitzim mishum achuzisha. So, if the cheresh husband dies, if the cheresh brother dies, so that's fine. So his wife does not have a zika, because his widow is his wife's sister. Good. So, but what if you had the pikech die? And so now, sorry. What if the pikech dies? And leaving now the cheresh for the mitzvah of yibum. So Moses isha beged v'isha esechiv asur l'olam. So here, unfortunately, he's going to have to divorce his wife because his wife now is acho ziku kaso. The zika coming from his sister-in-law is min haTorah. His marriage to his wife is only midrabanan. So therefore, he's going to have to divorce his wife because his wife is acho ziku kaso. And on top of that, he can't do yibum with his sister-in-law because his sister-in-law is ashes. I'm sorry, achos grushaso. Okay. Case number 7 in the Mishnah. Case number 7, Shnei achin, echad cheresh ve'echad pikech, nesun l'shtei nachrios, pikchos. Two brothers, one a cheresh, the other a pikech, married to two women. They are not sisters. They are both have their mental faculty. So meis cheresh ba pikech, mayes pikech ba pikech, so cholets miyabe. So here, if the cheresh dies, so the pikech can do either yibam or chalitza, meaning it's a very straightforward case of the mitzvah of yibam. Meis pikech ba pikach, mayaseh cheresh ba pikachas. Now, what if the Pikeach dies, leaving his brother, the Cheresh, the only surviving brother? So what does he do with his sister-in-law? And again, it's only a sister-in-law from the brother. It's not a sister-in-law from his wife. In other words, they weren't sisters. So now, Kone, so he does the mitzvah of Yibum. And remember, the Zika coming at him now is a Zika in the Torah. So he marries her, Veino Motzi Lo'olam, and he can't divorce her. Why is Chalitza not an option? Because he's a Cheresh. Okay. Case number 8. Shnei Achim Pichim Nesun LeBeis Nachrios. If I have two brothers who have the mental faculty married to two women, they're not sisters. Achas Pikachas Vechas Chereshes. One is a Pikach, the other is a Chereshes. So Meis Pikach Ba Chereshes. Mayase Pikach Ba Pikachas. Kones V'yemotza Lozi Yotzi. So he does a mitzvah of Yibam, and if he wants to divorce, he may divorce her. Chalitza is not an option because she's a Chereshes, but he could do the mitzvah of Yibam, and then after the mitzvah of Yibam, remember, we've said this time and again, after the mitzvah of Yibam, she's his wife. If he wants to divorce her, he may divorce her. Meis Pikach Ba And if the Pikeach dies, leaving his wife as a candidate for Yibum, so then what does the brother-in-law do? Well, the brother-in-law is a Pikeach. She, the widow, is a Pikacha. So you could either do Yibum or you could do Chalitza. Right? And the order of the Mishnah, if you want to just look a little more carefully at the order of the Mishnah says, O Choletz, O Miyabim. It sounds like preferable to do Chalitza than rather to do Yibum. That's a discussion that we've had time and again throughout this Masechta. Case number 9, final case of the Mishnah. Shnei achim echad cheresh ve'echad pikech nesus lebeis nachrios echad cheresh ve'achas pikachas. So here in case number 9, we're having two brothers married, but not to two sisters. Again, matzah min esmino. The cheresh married the cheresh, the pikech married the pikachas. So if the Cheresh dies, leaving his widow Chereshes for the mitzvah of Yibam, so the brother-in-law could do the mitzvah of Yibam. Can't do Chalitza because she can't talk, so but can do the mitzvah of Yibam. And if after the mitzvah of Yibam he wants to divorce, he may do so. And now what does the Cheresh do with his sister-in-law, who is a candidate now for Yibam? So he marries her. And cannot do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh. And can't divorce her because he's a Cheresh. So, admittedly...
A Cheresh husband cannot divorce.
A Cheresh husband cannot divorce. That was the beginning of the Mishnah. So, okay. So, she's stuck in this predicament. Okay. It sounds like a difficult situation. I'm sure it is, but that's the halacha. Okay. 9 different cases in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was... Like I say, from time to time, the Mishnah is just simply a programmable right computer. It's just going through every single permutation that's conceivable in this construct of two men marrying two women, one being either both being a Pikeach or both being a Cheresh, or one being a Pikeach, one being a Cheresh. Also the their sisters or not sisters. Okay, the Mishnah just basically just churning out what would be the halacha in all these different scenarios. The concepts are actually just a few concepts, but and then all you're doing is just plugging it into all these different cases. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama Maishna Cheresh VeCheresh Takin LeRabbanan Nisuin. And finally, after having gone through the Mishnah, now the Gemara goes under the hood and sees why. Why in all these cases are the Chachamim enacting a marriage when it comes to Cheresh and Chereshes? So why do they do that? Meaning, again, let's go back to what we started the daf with today. Min ha-Torah, a cheresh and a chereshes marriage does not work because you need das. Marriage requires das. A cheresh is presumed to not have das. I know nowadays it's different. A deaf mute has the ability to communicate. Things have changed over time. I'm not going to speak from a modern standpoint. I'm just speaking from the standpoint of the Gemara. Why did the rabbis enact marriage in a place where Min HaTorah, the marriage doesn't work? It's assumed, by the way, I'm sure we all understand, they have that ability, they have that power to enact a marriage. How do they have that power? I can only guess. I could suggest Hefker based in Hefker, but that only works by money. Okay, but they enacted. The rabbis enacted a marriage when it comes to Cheresh Cheresh, and the Gemara wants to know why would they do that. So, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Maishan Cheresh Cheresh, Takin L'Rabbanan Nisuin, Umashna Deshota Vishota, I hope I said that correctly, Delo Takin L'Rabbanan Nisuin. So when it comes to Cheresh, Cheresh, so the rabbis enacted marriage. When it comes to Shotin, Shota, if they are clinically insane, so the rabbis did not enact marriage, what's the difference between the two? Answers the Gemara. Well, first of all, before answering, establishing the fact. The time you want to tell Brisa. Shota v'katan shenasu nashim u'meisu nishosem p'toros menachalitzim u'neyibum. If I have either a Shota or a Katan, he's either mentally deranged or he's a minor, and they marry women and they die, so their wives are going to be exempt from chalitza and yibum because they're not wives. They're just, in other words, it wasn't a marriage, and so therefore there's no mitzvah of yibum. And so now that we have established the facts, so now that, let's answer the question why. Cheresh v'cheresh is dekaime takant rabbanan takinuluhu rabbanan nisuin. Shota v'shota delo kaime Takanta, the Rabbanan de'in Adam dar im nachash b'kfifa achas. Lo takin Rabbanan nisuin. Gemara answers. When it comes to a cheresh and a chereshes, so it is a sustainable scenario. Meaning that they are lacking in mental faculty. But they're not crazy. They're just simply not smart. They're not intelligent. But what they can do is that they can manage together.
Can the cheresh give get?
No.
So this is a permanent thing.
It'll be a marriage.
Well, hold on.
Wait, let's step by step. If the marriage started with him being a cheresh, so the Mishnah says that just like he entered into the marriage, so too he can exit from the marriage. If he didn't start as a cheresh, if he started as a ben das, and then he becomes a cheresh, so then he can't exit the marriage. Okay, that's what the Mishnah taught us. So to answer your question, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Depending on how the marriage started.
If the gestures work in marriage here, if you start, why can't they work with chalitza?
Why didn't the rabbis institute a rabbinic chalitza? The problem is that the sister-in-law, the yavama that's coming at him, if she's coming from a mentally competent man, so then the Zika is coming from a Daraisa standpoint. So then her remiza, her gestures aren't going to help much. Because they can exit a marriage that was started rabbinic, but they can't exit a Zika that is Minatora. Okay, so the Cheresh Cheresh's marriage is sustainable. And basically the rabbi said, Lo Tov. In other words, it's not good for women to be by themselves. It's not good for men to be by themselves. In other words, the Chachamim, I mean, we've seen this time and again throughout Shas. It's like, you know, one of the big themes of Shas. Marriage is a good thing. And so therefore, when the rabbis can affect a marriage, they will do so. So for Cheresh Cheresh, it's sustainable. And because it's sustainable, so therefore the rabbis enacted a marriage. But when it comes to Shota, it's just simply not sustainable. He's crazy, she's crazy, one of them are crazy. The Chachamim did not affect the marriage. It is, says the Gemara, I glossed over this. Ain dar, right? Ain adam dar im nachash b'kfifa achas. It's not a good idea to live in the same house with a snake. Okay, the snake is going to bite you. Not because the snake is mean, because just simply that's what a snake does. Similarly, right, that's the mashal, the nimshal is pretty obvious. In other words, if he's a shota or she's a shota, it's just simply not a sustainable environment. The marriage cannot exist. They simply cannot coexist. And so therefore, the rabbis did not enact a marriage in an unsustainable environment. Let's go over the why. There, the marriage has been affected in a Torah, and he now lost his mind, unfortunately. So now, the marriage doesn't just dissolve.
So why do we accept that a snake at this time?
No. Again, let's go.
She has to live with a snake for...
I understand. It's no, meaning what they'll have to do is they'll have to separate, but in terms of the marriage just simply doesn't dissolve. Again, you have to start off with there's a halachic reality. Halachic reality when a man and woman are married is that they're married. And the only two ways to exit a marriage, either death or divorce. That's it.
Here it says he can marry somebody else. He'll marry somebody else even after I've been engaged to him. He would be allowed to marry somebody.
Oh, he talks about it? Yeah, No, in other words, there is a discussion of what to do to resolve the marriage. The marriage is unresolvable.
Okay.
But in other words, for the guy, if his wife goes crazy, so what does he do?
It's
So he gets it. So for you Sephardim, it's easy. You get another wife. So for us Ashkenazim, it's a little more challenging because we have to. We have Rabbeinu Gershom for 1,000 years now. We've lived monogamous related marriages. So probably even longer. But anyway, but at least for 1,000 years, we have monogamous marriages. So what do? So. Can I tell you? It's right now. It's too complicated, and Phil mentioned it, but we're gonna.
No, I know.
He brings it up. I know. Listen, are you allowed
to marry someone?
I'm gonna be even more honest. I know people who had unfortunately had to go through this because. Anyway, come to me afterwards. I'll tell you all the. I'll give you all the drama later. Of course, I won't mention names, but you know, I'll tell you what little I know. Okay. Anyway, Maishna Kata Delo Takin Rabbanan Nisuin VeCheresh Takin Lo Rabbanan Nisuin. Gemara now just advances the next part of the discussion. You know, a kata and the rabbis didn't institute a marriage for a minor boy, of course. Minor girl, yes, but we'll get to that in just a moment. But right now we're talking about a minor boy. Rabbis didn't institute a marriage, but for a cheresh they did. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, Gemara says it's simple. Cheresh the lost lechlal nesuin takin rabban nesuin. Katan the asi lechlal nesuin la takin rabban nesuin. You see, the cheresh does not have a good prognosis. The katan does. Katan's going to grow up. Very good prognosis. So for the katan, there's no reason why the rabbis had to intercede and enact a marriage for the katan, because the katan is going to grow up. When it comes to the cheresh, that looks like it's going to be his condition for the rest of his life. So lo tov, it's not good for a man to be by himself for the rest of his life. So the rabbis enacted a marriage for the cheresh. Hare ketana da asil chlan nesuin v'takin rabban nesuin. So the Gemara says, what about a ketan? You have a minor. Now, if she's married off by the father, so then, as we've discussed time and again, that's a marriage that works min haTorah. But if there is no father, the rabbis instituted a marriage when it comes to ketana, like we discussed in the previous parak and the parak before that. So why did they do that? In other words, she also is going to grow up. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Hasam, Shalo Yinagu Bo Minagefka, as a way of protecting the girl, so therefore the rabbis instituted a marriage for the girl. Umayshna Ketana De Mima'ana, Umayshna Cheresh La Mima'ana. Okay, so the rabbis instituted a marriage for a ketan, and the rabbis instituted a marriage for a chereshes. Why didn't they institute a way for a chereshes to exit her marriage, much like they did for a ketana who has an exit strategy if she doesn't want the marriage? What we call miyun. So the Gemara says, "Im kain mim nae velo nas bila." The Gemara explains, we're now on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. If miyun was allowed for a chereshes, who would want to marry the chereshes? Meaning, she's a deaf mute. Marrying her would be an act of chesed. Unless the husband himself is a cheresh, but marrying her would be an act of chesed. And if she can exit the marriage anytime she wants, so then no one would want to marry her. And then what would be the point of the chachamim instituting marriage if no one would want
to
marry?
You have to make a declaration also to do miyun. No, miyun requires declaration.
Yeah, that's also true. It's a good point. But even the Gemara is just discussing even just more fundamentally, meaning then you're really not. You're not motivating anyone to marry her. Take a look at the top Rashi and Kufi Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, "Holo olam hi yichol lamain," meaning for the chereshes, that is a permanent situation where she can be mine anytime you want. Min mechar shusa avakitana. Gvul yeshla. Now the Gemara doesn't make this point, but Rashi makes the point very clear. Miyun by a girl, yeah, but there it's finite. There, her ability to do miyun continues until, but only until she gets to become an adult. Once she becomes an adult, meaning 12 years of age, when she becomes an adult, she no longer has the ability to do miyun anymore, like we learned in the previous perek. So the Gemara says. Excuse me. So Rashi says, "Valketana gvul yeshla v'savra mefaisin ala kol shaita ashiya vorzman miyuna." So there, when it comes to a ketana, so even though yes, she has the ability to do miyun, but the husband who marries a ketana will say, "Look, what are we talking about? A year, 2 years? Okay, I'll make nice to her." Watch me be politically correct right now. And I'll make nice to her even after she's 12 years of age as well. But I'll be extra nice to her up until the point of 12. In other words, that's a sustainable circumstance because you know it's finite. But when it comes to chereshes, so for the rest of her life, if she could do miyun, so then who would want to marry her?
Yes, extra nice for the rest of the
life. Right. Right. So Maishna Ketana da Achla b'tshuma. Back to the Gemara, top line of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. When it comes to Ketana, so she can eat Shuma, Maishna Chereshet da Achla b'tshuma. A Chereshet cannot eat Shuma. Okay, so in other words, here we are now, next part of the Q&A. The Rabbis instituted marriage for a Ketana, the Rabbis instituted marriage for a Chereshet. Good. But they're not the same. A Ketana married to a Kohen is allowed to eat Shuma. A Cheresh is married to a Kohen is not allowed to eat Shuma. Why? So first, before we answer the question, just let's establish the fact that a Cheresh cannot eat Shuma. We learned in the Mishnah, I hate Rav Yochanan ben Gudgudah. Here we go again. Rav Yochanan ben Gudgudah. You're going to see Rav Yochanan ben Gudgudah's name come up a lot when it comes to a Cheresh and a Cheresh. Historically, he had children who were Charashim. So, and he also, the second time today, we see a halacha in his name regarding a cheresh. We saw it back in the Mishnah, and we're seeing it now again. This is a Mishnah in Adios. Cheresh is sheisiu avia sheyotza beget, v'al ketana bas yisrael shenasu sekoin sheochaz b'tshuma. That a cheresh that is married, I'm sorry, married off by the father, that she can exit with a get, meaning she can receive a get, like we already said back in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Adios. A ketana who is married to a kohen, she can eat shuma. Now, put those two sentences together, meaning contrast the two, the diuk is pretty clear. The Gemara makes the diuk. V'ilu chereshes lo achla, v'ilu chereshes lo achla. But a chereshes cannot eat shuma, meaning just contrasting the two cases.
Can a cheresh
kohen
eat shuma?
Yes. The problem is that he has to be in a state of tahara. So he's going to need help. We discussed this earlier elsewhere. I don't know if I don't remember where, but we discussed elsewhere where you have to be Shomer Tahara. You're going to need somebody else to make sure that he's in a state of Tahara, she's in a state of Tahara. But right now, just fundamentally, why is it that when the rabbis enacted a marriage by Ketana, she can eat Shuma? So Gemara says, Gzeresh HaMiyachel Cheresh BeCheresh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if we allow the Cheresh, the wife of a Kohen, to eat Shuma, so what we're going to do is we're going to then basically allow a Cheresh married to a Cheresh eat Shuma. So the Gemara, who's a Kohen? So the Gemara says, okay, and so what? V'leichel kad nochel nevelosi. So the Gemara says, and is that so bad? Meaning, what would be the problem over there? And even if she's not really entitled to eat Shuma, when all said and done, she doesn't have das, she's eating something that she's not entitled to eat, but we don't have to stop her from doing so. We'll be discussing in just a little bit of time in the Gemara this idea of if you see a katan eating nevela, Beis Din does not have to separate from him from eating the nevela. So here also, what's the big deal? So the Gemara says again, once we get into the involved in this discussion of a chereshis eating truma, so then we'll get involved in a cheresh and a chereshis. And once we do that, so then if the husband is a cheresh and the wife is a pikachas, so then he's going to give, and again, he's a kohen, he's going to give his wife truma. To which the Gemara says, cheresh be pikachas, v'cheresh be pikachas, na'im alecha b'truma, d'rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand on a Torah level they're not married. I understand that she is not entitled to eat truma min a Torah. I get all that. Why not truma d'rabbanan? The Gemara says, gzera d'mas l'achla b'truma d'araisa. The Gemara says, because eventually when all said and done, she's going to end up eating truma d'araisa. And again, the marriage is not a valid marriage min a Torah. She's not entitled to eat truma min a Torah. And so therefore, the chachamim just therefore put a blanket gzera if either one of the parties in this kohen woman marriage is a cheresh, so therefore they cannot eat, she cannot eat truma. Huh? Sure. Truma midrabanan, all vegetables are chayav in truma midrabanan. And then when it comes to fruit, machlok is Rambam and the Rishonim. Rambam says all fruit are chayav in truma min haTorah, and Tosos Rashi say that only grape, wine, and the five grains are chayav in truma min haTorah. All the rest of the fruit are only chayav midrabanan. Maishna ketana dislek suva, maishna chereshes dislek suva. A ketana, when a man marries a ketana, he's got to write her ksuva. When a man marries a chereshes, does not have to write her ksuva. Why not? So the Gemara says again, because what the Chachamim wanted to do is promote marriage with a man and a chereshes. And if there is a ksuva that is need to be written for the chereshes, so the man's going to, again, it's an act of, this marriage would have to be an act of chesed. So it would just... It would not promote, it wouldn't motivate a man from marrying the chereshes if on top of having to marry her, he's also going to have to write her ksuva as well. So therefore, it's just simply not going to, it'll only belie what the chachamim want to do, which is try to promote marriage. Uketana minalan de is like suva. And how do we know that ketana has a ksuva? So the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah. Ma'amema'enes v'ashniyav ayelis v'enlem ksuva v'al yotze beget. V'ketana yesh la ksuva. So a girl who did miyun or a shniya, that's an issa de rabbanan. An ayelis, there is no ksuva, but does have to leave with a get, and a ketana does in fact have a ksuva. Okay, v'cheresh minalan delas ksuva detanya. And how do we know that a cheresh does not have a ksuva? So the Gemara quotes the brayso: cheresh v'shota v'nishenasu pikachos. If the man is a cheresh or a shota and he married pikachos, afa pishin is pakeach hacheresh v'nishtaf v'shota. And even if they both recover, the cheresh miraculously starts to hear and speak, and the insane person becomes mentally healthy. Ein lam aleim klum. So there is no. They don't have a ksuva obligation. But if they want to continue the marriage, though, now they have to write a ksuva. And the Bach has over here, ksuva mana, it has to be 100 because she's no longer besula. So if the man is a pikeach that marries a chereshes or a shota, and even if he writes to her me'aman ksuva, which is an exorbitant amount for the ksuva, we'll discuss that in just a week from now, a week and a half from now. So kayemis, it's a he has to comply with the ksuva that he wrote because you want to give away your money. You're more than entitled to give away your money.
In terms of the chereshes, there's no ksuva obligation, right? What about also nifseh, torn by the enemy, and captivity and all that? What's the responsibility?
Right, what are the ksuva responsibilities? Whenever we talk about ksuva, there are two components to the ksuva. Number one is the settlement, right? The ksuva is a prenuptial, right? It's just basically, here's what's going to happen upon either death or divorce. And then ksuva also, containing ksuva, is all the marital obligations between one and another. So it's not totally clear... Clearly, the Gemara over here is talking about the settlement. That's clear. What about the obligations? That's your question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. So, time of the ratza, halo ratza, ain la. And it's clear from the Braisa. The Braisa says, look, if you want to write her ksuva, you're more than welcome to do so. But it's also pretty clear from the Braisa that you don't have to do that. So once again, the im kemim nevelo naspila. And again, the Gemara explains, because if you have to write her ksuva, so then no one's going to want to marry the chereshes, and so therefore the rabbis didn't institute ksuva when it comes to a chereshes.
Yes,
and if he writes it, so then he has to comply, because the Braisa said, you want to give away your money, you're more than welcome to do so, but you don't have to.
Is that because about promiscuity in terms of like advantage of it?
Well, no, she's married. She's going to be married.
But I think if the guy doesn't have any sense of responsibility, or
it'll be less of a sense. Yeah,
I was concerned before, right?
In other words, generally speaking, there's a prohibition for a man to be with a woman without a ksuva.
Right.
We'll see that in the next Masechta. So over here, yes, it's interesting. We're having the rabbis are constructing a marriage. I'm just restating your question. I'm not answering. The rabbis are instituting a marriage, but without that ksuva element, and isn't it prohibited for a man to be with a woman without a ksuva? Okay, I hear you. It's a reasonable question, but again, this is not it's an exceptional marriage with an exceptional woman, and so therefore, I guess it's an exception. We'll discuss that in ksuvas as well. That's unclear. If you look at the language of a ksuva, read any standard ksuva, it says that's doraisa. So tosos, whatever. We'll see the tosos together. So tosos is all struggles to decide whether or not ksuva is doraisa or derabanan. The Torah does refer to ksuva, but not using the word ksuva. Torah describes it as mora besulos. Okay, we'll talk more about that later when we get to the beginning of ksuvas. So the Gemara says, what about a pikachas marrying a cherish? He's a cherish, she's a pikachas. So the Gemara says, Deim ke mibne v'lam minzeve. So the Gemara says, why over there are we not worried about the same thing? So the Gemara says, Yosem Eishesh, Rotzalisa, Isha, Rotzalina. So the Gemara says this a number of times, a woman is much more motivated to get married than a man is. Okay, Pokhazi, go out and see, it's true. The women are more motivated, and so therefore, we don't have to incentivize marriage for women as much as we have to incentivize marriage for men. Gemara tells the story. There was a cherish who lived in the community of Rav Malkiyo. And so what did Rav Malkiyo do? So he made a shidduch between him and a woman, and he also had read Iksuva. So Amarava manchachem k'Rav Malkiyo de Gavarabahu. So Rava says Rav Malkiyo, a special man, Gavarabba. Kasava ilu rasta shivcha l'sham shomilo zavnina lei. So kol shekain hacha di katarte. So he says, and look, in other words, if you just want service, you want someone to serve you, so you'll buy a shivcha. So over here, so what Rav Malkiyo did for this cheresh is he did better. He got him a wife. So in other words, serve him and also be a wife to him, and so therefore 400 zuz, that's a bargain. Amar
and two camels.
Yeah, well, that I'm not sure about, but okay, good. In other words, the Rav Malkiyo did a wonderful thing, getting him a wife. Of course, also you know, with a promissory note of 400 zuz, which is, you know, a significant amount of money, but still, the basic theme of today's daf is the rabbis enacted marriage even in cases where they're exceptional people, special people, but when possible the rabbis enacted marriage. That's the theme of today's daf. Eishes cheresh. Okay, woman's married to a cheresh. Okay, was the marriage a good marriage? Yes or no? I write awkward pause over there in the answer. Okay, we know that the marriage works on a derabban level. Okay, if she now commits adultery, is that adultery?
Yeah.
I'm not asking from a right. I'm not asking from a standpoint of is it right or wrong. It's obviously wrong. Pashen. It's obviously wrong. But from a halachic standpoint of, is this eishes ish? Let's say it was done b'shogeg. Do you have to bring a karban? Right? Simple questions like that. So the Gemara says, asham talui. So I'm sorry. Ein chayavan aleha asham talui. So you do not need to bring an asham talui. Okay? Now, asham talui, we know. Asham talui is a karban that a person brings when he possibly violated an iser kares. Okay? There's a mesechta dedicated to this topic. It's called Croesus. We went through it not so long ago. A couple years ago. Okay, maybe three. But we know that when a man possibly, or a woman, possibly violates an Issa Dareis, an Issa Kareis, so he brings a Karban Hashem Talui. If this woman had relations with another man, so is that Eishes Ish again? It's wrong, it's Pashen. It's obviously that's wrong. She's rabbinically married to another man. But from a standpoint of adultery and an obligation to bring a Karban, so the Gemara says no, and not only does the Gemara say no, but not even an Hashem Talui. So this is a statement attributed to the name of Shmuel. So Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, I think I'd like to bring proof that this is in fact so. Chamisha lo yitromo, v'intarmo in chumas am chuma. Five people cannot take off chuma. This is the first Mishnah in Masech to Chumas. Ve'elohein. Cheresot ekatan. V'atarmo es she'en ha'shalova. V'kochav v'shatarmo shal yisrael. Afilo b'rishrit yisrael in chumas am chuma. The five people who have no validity to take off chuma are number one, a cheresh, number two, a shota, three, a katan, four, somebody takes off chuma of produce that does not belong to him, and five, an ove kochavim that takes off chuma, even if done so with the permission of the Jew. But we're going to focus right now on number one. A cheresh can't take off chuma. Why? Because it cannot affect the kinyan. Chuma is taking something and giving it another status. Okay, produce. So a cheresh cannot take off chuma because he simply does not have an ability to change the status of something. So when he marries a woman, again, albeit that that the marriage is recognized by the chachamim, but on a Torah level, did he change your status? No. So if she commits adultery, unless she does a bishogeg, so is she going to be chayev, or and the man involved is going to be chayev a carbon? No. Good. So the
Is she allowed back to her husband?
It's promiscuity, but it's not Ashes. Right. My best guess would be yes. But that'd be my best guess. So who damar karabalazer detanya Rav Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabalazer Chumas Cherish Lo Teitzel Lechum and Meshu Safek. So the Gemara says So the opinion of Rabbi Lazar is that that Chumas Cheresh, the Chumah taken off by Cheresh, is somewhere in the middle.
Right.
It is, or it is in Chumah, we don't know. It's a state of Suffolk. So the Gemara says, Is Virei Rabbi Lazar, Hashem Tolei Nami L'Chayiv. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if he holds like this Shita, so what does that mean? Does the Cheresh create a status change? Possibly. Well, wait a second, if it's possible, so then that woman that he married may possibly be his wife. Which means then that the man who committed adultery with her, again, let's assume this is Bishogeg, so then he's going to have to bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, Be'inan chaticha m'shtei chaticha. So the Gemara says a technical answer, really technical answer. And that is to bring a carbon Hashem Talui, so it has to be a scenario in which there were two pieces. One was Chelev, the other was Shuman. He didn't know which piece he ate, but we knew that there was definitely Chelev as one of the two possibilities. Then and only then is the person obligated to bring a Karban Hashem Talui. But if it's one Chaticha and it's a Suffolk, whether or not that one Chaticha is Asr Mutter, and he eats it, so then he doesn't have to bring an Hashem Talui. This is a Halacha within the Halachas of Hashem Talui. Chaticha just simply means one piece, as opposed to two separate pieces. Okay? The Gemara says, "Umi by Rabbi Lazar chaticha m'shei chatichos." Now, as in this technical answer the Gemara just gave, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Lazar doesn't subscribe to this idea. V'atanya Rabbi Lazar amar koi chayav al chabo Hashem talui. If you eat the chelav of a koi, what is a koi exactly? We don't know. It's a right could be a buffalo, but whatever it is. In other words, it's a behema, it's a chaya. We don't know. And we know that the fats of a behemoth is prohibited, the fats of a chai are permitted. This animal, we don't know categorically where to put it in. If you eat the chelev of such an animal, so are you chai of an Hashem talui? Well, that's one piece.
Right.
I just don't know where categorically belongs. So if you subscribe to this rule that it has to be two pieces, one being us and one being mutter, and I ate one of the two and I don't know which one I ate, so then the koi doesn't qualify. But the Gemara points out that Rabbi Lazar says that if you eat the chelav of a koi, you are obligated to bring an Hashem Talui. He doesn't subscribe to this technical rule. So the Gemara says, simple, Shmuel sarva k'Rabbi Lazar b'chada, u'palagala b'chada. So as far as Shmuel is concerned, so he subscribes to Rabbi Lazar from one perspective, but not from the other perspective. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, we have another version where, right, if a man is bishogeg, sleeps with an eishes cheresh, he does have to bring a carbon Hashem Talui. The Gemara says, meisvei chamisha lo yitromo. Then we quote the Mishnah in Trumas, when the Mishnah in Trumas says that a cheresh does not create a status change in the Truma. Likewise, when a cheresh marries a woman, he's not creating a status change. She's not married, min haTorah. So serve like a Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says he holds like Rabbi Lazar, which is that a cheresh may possibly create a status change. By Rav Ashi, my time with Rabbi Lazar. Okay. And now the Gemara cuts into the question of what is behind Rabbi Lazar, meaning that the Tanna Kamma, the Mishnah Trumas, let me say it a little bit better. The Mishnah Trumas says that a cheresh does not create a status change. You know why? He doesn't have das. If you don't have das, it can't affect a status change. Good. Rabbi Lazar says he may create a status change. What's behind that? So the Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Lazar, Mishnah Pshita le the cheresh daita kalisha." So he says like this. A cheresh has some sort of intelligence. Okay, in other words, if we could talk in somewhat modern terminology, meaning he has a low IQ, but there's something there. So there cheresh daita klishasahu umi umesafkele idaita tzilusa ilav daita tzilusa. It's a low IQ, but is it a cluttered low IQ or is it a clear low IQ? But really, it's a. In other words, it's one das, meaning it's a small amount of das. But his issue is whether or not it's clear or it's unclear. Odim pshita le daita kli shasa v'lav daita v'lav daita sli susahu v'achai nutaima kevin de itim chalim v'itim shota. I'm sorry, itim shota. Or the Gemara points out the other way to view it is that no, it's not a low IQ. It's that sometimes he has a clear thought process and sometimes he has an unclear thought process. And at the time when he took off truma, or in our case, at the time when he married, we simply don't know where he was holding mentally. The Gemara says, "Mein afkamina." The Gemara says, "What difference does it make practically?" Lo siyu shta beget. So the Gemara says it's a question of divorcing his wife. So the Gemara says, "Look, if it's a low IQ, but it's a constant, so just like he married her, so too we can divorce her." But if you go with the second option of it staggers. Sometimes he's smart, sometimes he's not. So matzim mekadosh grusha lo matzim megarish. So on one hand he can be mekadosh her, but again, because it's not a constant, but because it's a variable, and sometimes he's smart and sometimes he's not, so he can get into the marriage, but because of the unknown of maybe he got into the marriage when he was lucid, so maybe he can't get out of the marriage. So take the Gemara leaves this off as an unresolved question, but again, to organize this information. What the Gemara left unresolved is, what would Rabbi Lazar say regarding the Cheresh who marries a woman? We don't subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Lazar. We subscribe to the viewpoint that a Cheresh does not have Das, meaning the Mishnah and Truma. So, when a Cheresh marries a woman, he does so without Das. So, like our Mishnah taught us, like we learned already in the beginning of the Gemara, from our standpoint, from the halachic standpoint, a cheresh can get into a marriage, and similarly, a cheresh can also exit the marriage as well. The only question was, according to Rabbi Lazar. We'll stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from Nishtate. So that's some basic questions that we're also going to be discussing tomorrow as well. Okay? As quickly as the 14th parak began, tomorrow, 14th parak, God willing, will end. Short parak.